Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.
After much anticipation, President Biden and Russian President Putin meet face-to-face today in Geneva. Plus, just how serious is the housing shortage in America, and what can be done about it? And a closer look at how medical debt is impacting patients and hospitals.
All of this kind of gets to the extraordinary cost of healthcare in the United States.
It's Wednesday, June 16th. I'm Mark Stewart with the Wall Street Journal. Here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. Israel launched airstrikes across the Gaza Strip, hitting Hamas targets. The Israeli strikes appeared to cause no deaths or injuries. It follows clashes which saw Israeli police firing rubber bullets at Palestinians trying to disrupt a right-wing nationalist march in Jerusalem and Hamas militants launching incendiary balloons into Israel. It marks the first time the rival forces have traded blows since the two sides agreed to a truce in May, which brought an end to an 11-day conflict. It's also an early test for Israeli Prime Minister Naftali Bennett and his new coalition government. Here's some context from the Journal's Felicia Schwartz.
These past 24 hours or so, they are a real challenge to the government, which, of course, does not want to embark on another conflict with Hamas, but also wants to kind of set the tone for what behavior it finds acceptable. So far, that has not spiraled beyond what we've seen, but who knows where it will go in the coming days. But of course, if another cycle of escalation spirals out of control with both sides trying to prove themselves, it could be a very volatile and dangerous chapter.
Today, the much-anticipated meeting between President Joe Biden and Russian President Vladimir Putin is set to take place in Geneva, Switzerland. It comes amid some tension between the two nations, including allegations of Russia meddling in the 2020 U.S. election and recent cyber attacks, and the alleged use of a nerve agent against opposition leader Alexei Navalny. Officials involved in the preparation say the meeting between leaders could run for about 4 or 5 hours. We'll keep you posted on WSJ.com and have more on tonight's podcast. The Federal Reserve wraps up its two-day policy meeting today. It's expected to release a policy statement along with new economic projections. Fed officials could signal they're open to raising interest rates sooner than expected on the back of recent high inflation. And philanthropist Mackenzie Scott, one of the richest women in the world, said she would give away $2.7 billion to 286 organizations. Scott, who was previously married to Amazon founder Jeff Bezos, said in a blog post that she and her husband Dan Jewett, along with researchers, administrators, and advisors, spent much of the year identifying historically underfunded nonprofits that work in neglected areas. She also said she is increasingly concerned about vast quantities of wealth being in the hands of a small group of people. Scott is the world's 22nd wealthiest person, worth an estimated $59.8 billion, according to the Bloomberg Billionaires Index. Many Americans are looking for new homes, but finding a house can be a struggle. As we have seen, the limited supply has been a recent driver of rising housing prices for renters and home buyers, along with the robust demand. Now, new data released today will show the extent of the problem. Markets columnist Mike Bird joins me from Hong Kong. Hi, Mike.
Morning, Mark.
Mike, the National Association of Realtors is out today with a new report. It shows a decline in new home construction. Just how do the numbers stack up?
So the National Association of Realtors says that there are about 5.5 million housing units fewer built in the last 20 years relative to long-term trends. Now, obviously, that's a huge shortfall and could be driving some of the supply-demand imbalance that we're seeing at the moment. They've looked at it across single-family housing units as well as multifamily and found a shortage in both places, again, relative to what construction would have been before the 2000s.
And of course, there are a number of challenges. We've talked about supply chain constraints in recent months. What solutions are being discussed?
Yeah, this is a really interesting problem when it comes to even people outside of the housing market without an interest in real estate, because it's going to feed through into inflation. If there's a severe supply-demand shortage, people will end up spending a lot more on rent, and that may help to drive inflation up. One of the solutions suggested by the NAR is a change to tax credit policy to encourage low-income rental housing. They'd also like incentives to be given to states and cities to revitalize distressed housing districts. There's a number of things that could be done.
Thank you, Mike Bird.
Thanks very much, Mark.
By the way, News Corp, the owner of the Wall Street Journal, also operates Realtor.com. Just ahead, we'll look at how one region is coping with debt from medical bills after the break.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest-cost model on the market, perfectly designed for high-volume, high-speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
Among other forms of debt, many Americans have unpaid medical bills. A lot of them are eligible for financial assistance, but either don't realize it or get discouraged by red tape and bureaucracy in trying to claim it. From time to time, charities will step in to buy up some of that debt and cancel it. One such debt forgiveness charity, called RIP Medical Debt, recently bought $278 million of patients' hospital bills from Ballad Health, a nonprofit hospital system in Tennessee and Virginia. The deal highlights gaps in the financial aid programs of nonprofit hospitals, and it adds to concerns over how and who hospitals charge for their services. For a closer look at this issue, I'm joined from New York by WSJ health reporter Melanie Evans. Melanie, good morning.
Good morning.
So, Melanie, this charity spent a lot of money canceling debt for people, many of whom should have never been billed in the first place. How did these people get caught up in this?
This is a question that many, many people are very frustrated by. Nonprofit hospitals in the United States serve as a safety net. They get big tax breaks for providing benefit to their communities. One of the ways that they do that is by writing off the bills of low-income individuals. This is not as easy as it sounds. Hospitals typically have applications that patients are required to complete in order to get free medical care or a discount off their bills. Those applications can be hard to find, according to patient advocates. Patients don't always even know that financial assistance is available. And when they are completing those applications, they are often required to submit tax information and pay stubs and mortgage documentation and an itemized list of their monthly expenses, all of which can be extremely cumbersome. That means that not everybody who would qualify for aid gets it because they haven't completed the application.
That leads me to this next question. How does this debt impact these patients?
I've talked to patients who've had their debt forgiven by RIP in the past. They've had impacts on their credit scores from lingering medical debt. When that debt is forgiven, their credit scores improve, which means that the price they pay on a credit card or their ability to rent an apartment also improves. In some cases, this debt can go to court. So hospitals in some cases will sue for money they think they're owed because they don't have a charity care application. They haven't approved the patient for charity care, which is the term they often use for financial assistance. And so they'll garnish someone's wages or they'll put a lien on someone's property. The consequences of medical debt also can just be psychological. Patients who have an outstanding medical bill may be afraid to go back to the doctor for something else.
In this case, the provider Ballad Health has come under criticism for using lawsuits to collect medical debt. What do they have to say about the current debt situation, especially when it comes to patients who shouldn't have been billed?
Ballad's response to the public criticism about their lawsuits is that if they don't have an application, they assume the individual can pay that debt and they need the revenue. And so they seek to collect it. They have a large number of patients who are uninsured and are on or who have safety net insurance, which doesn't pay well. And so when patients can pay, they want to collect that revenue to help offset the other expenses that they have from patients who are in greater financial need. Ballad said that they have taken some steps within the last year to try to make it easier for patients to qualify for financial aid. So they've started screening patients for what they call presumptive eligibility. It just means we presume you should get financial assistance, even if we don't have an application.
Why did the organization agree to this help, to take help from this nonprofit?
Ballad's executives said this is a way to wipe the slate clean. On bills that have been outstanding for up to a decade, they made changes to their financial assistance policy in recent years, one of which they said will hopefully eliminate this type of debt going forward. But in order to get rid of the outstanding debt, when approached by RIP, they agreed to sell this to the charity, which they said would help wipe the slate clean.
So as we talk about this story, there are some new regulations representing a broader change in the way hospitals price their services and who they can charge. What can we learn about the state of healthcare funding from this particular case?
So all of this kind of gets to the extraordinary cost of healthcare in the United States, which has been an issue that policymakers have tried to tackle. It's sort of a constant issue for employers because in the United States, a lot of insurance is provided as a workplace benefit. So employers foot some of that bill. And it's a huge issue for households who are burdened with high deductibles and outstanding medical debt. This deal speaks to the broader strain on the U.S. economy and on personal finance from U.S. healthcare spending. And you can see that not only in this deal, but in policies that are requiring hospitals to make prices public and states that are trying to further regulate the way hospitals collect on those bills.
WSJ Health reporter Melanie Evans. Melanie, thank you.
Thanks so much for having me.
And finally, the pandemic transformed the job hunt for many people, including CEOs and other top executives. Virtual interviews mean executive recruiters can meet with a larger and more diverse pool of candidates. Here's the WSJ's Emily Glazer.
Companies are really giving priority to different types of values in their new leaders. I heard that from recruiters and directors. Words like empathy, sensitivity, mental health were at the top of the list, not just, you know, profits and experience. Obviously, the candidates need to be qualified, but because the pandemic created so many different types of disruption, whether digitization, changes in corporate culture, a greater focus on diversity. So companies are really seeking executives that can navigate that environment and the ability for these CEOs to really speak to a broad audience as well.
And that's what's news for Wednesday. We're back tonight with a new show. Please stay in touch with us with a rating and review wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.